Good morning, church family. Good to see you. For those who don't know, I'm David Stevens, one of the shepherds here. It's great to see visitors. I know Molly and Peggy have some visitors, and I see other new faces. We are so glad you're here. I think the visitors who have come the farthest is a little bit older couple. Their names are Herman and Shirley Pope, and they came from Idaho by way of California and many other states. We are so glad to have our Pope family back with us. It's not the same without you. We're so glad you guys are safe, but so glad you got to spend time with your loved ones out in Idaho and Eric and Emily and our extended family out there. So welcome home. So glad you're here. How about God's artistry? I'm just looking right here. Don't you love autumn? Just the burst of color. But it's easy to miss, right? I can get focused on driving and where I'm going. That's important, right? I need to watch the road and the other cars and pedestrians. But I love this time of the year when God's creation just explodes in the red, orange, yellow, green, brown, purple, burgundy. I think it's neat. I rejoice in that. Anybody ever seen the movie Pollyanna? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand. Sorry. It's an old Disney classic, and Pollyanna's an orphan. She goes to this orphanage, but the preacher there specializes in hellfire and brimstone, right? He preaches on hell like he grew up there, okay? But he goes out to this secluded place with some trees and some logs down, and he practices his sermons. Well, one day Pollyanna goes out to him and encourages him. She's like, did you ever hear about the glad passages? You know, rejoice and be glad, all the happy passages. Her father, who had died, had been a minister. And that was one of the things he had imprinted on her, that we are to be joyful and a people of rejoicing. And she actually transformed his preaching when he realized that someone was having undue influence on what was coming out of his mouth in the pulpit. Well, I do all that to say, this morning, I want us to look at joy and rejoicing. In our family, it is forbidden to steal someone's joy. Let me give you an example. Mary Jo and Anna love the Warrior books. It's a series about cats. But they're not cats. They're like humans, right? They're warriors and they all have different functions. Anyway, they love the Warriors book. So Anna was reading, I think it was the second book, Anna, in the series. I don't know the name. And I'm not going to tell you the name of the character because I don't want to steal your joy. But right before Anna finished the second book, Mary Joy told her that one of the main characters died and stole her joy. Has that ever happened to you? Has anybody ever stolen your joy? You were excited, you wanted to tell your parents. Aiden's raising his hand. You don't have to confess. Just think about it on the inside. But remember how it felt to have someone steal your joy, whether it was good news or something you wanted to share with someone, and someone else blurted it out first and just took it away from you. That's no fun, is it? Well, this morning, if you take notes, this will be a very note-friendly sermon. We are going to look at 5 questions on joy and rejoicing. And for each question, we're going to look at see what the Bible says. Now, this is not going to be exhaustive, or we'd be here till the fish fry tonight. So this will be in brief. This will be condensed. But for each of the 5 questions, we're going to look at some verses about what the Bible says about joy and rejoicing. And you'll see these nice silent movie placard slides will identify each of the 5 questions. So I'm giving you some signposting here. And here we go. Here's the first one. There it is. Who or what steals my joy? Who or what steals our joy? That's the first question we want to look at. And this slide's going to kind of be involved. Do y'all recognize him? He's a joy thief. You ever seen him? Where it's so easy. I drive a school bus on trips and I substitute. We have video cameras on the bus. And if something happens, they can go back and look at the video and see who did what, as opposed to going by the inaccurate eyewitness accounts of what actually happened, right? Same thing in the schools. We got the videotape. We can see what people are doing. Wouldn't that be nice if we could just see the joy thief coming in and stealing our joy? We could throw him in jail, get our joy back. Unfortunately, it's not that easy, is it? So what are some of the things, or what can steal our joy? The first thing is sin. Our own sin, especially if it is unrepented, can steal our joy. What about other people's sin? Can we let that steal our joy? In our time of life, I think about adult children and foolish decisions and sometimes sinful decisions that they make. That hurts. But I can't let that steal the joy that God has given to me. It could be close relatives, it could be friends, it could be brothers and sisters in Christ. All right? But sin is one of those things that can try to steal our joy if we let it. Let's look at a couple others. Ooh, anger and arguing. Do we ever let our emotions or our conflicts steal our joy? Think about the relationships that mean the most to you, the people that you care about the most. And I'm preaching to myself here more than anybody else. Am I letting my anger, my disagreements, rob me and the person or the people that I love the most of our joy in Christ? We can do that. Satan wants us to do that. Ooh, circumstances and worry, those seem to go together pretty well. Did you know that the word happy is not a synonym for joy? Did you know that? My wife has taught me that. Happy comes from the word happenstance. The definition of happenstance is coincidence. It just happens. Do I want to leave my joy entwined with my circumstances? Is that what God has called us to? Am I worrying my joy away? There's lots of stuff we can worry about, right? Finances, bills, job, school, health, relationships, our basic needs. There's so many things. You remember what Jesus said? He said, each day has enough worry of its own. You don't need to borrow from the future. It's not going to bear any good interest, right? He said, God knows what you need. And He's going to take care of your basic needs if we seek Him first. Amen. Jesus said, seek God first. He knows what you need. If He takes care of the flowers and the grass, He's definitely going to take about care of His human beings. This next one's hard, and it's real. Loss and grief. There is a time to mourn. The Bible clearly tells us that we are to mourn loss, especially when it's someone we love, someone that's close to us. That is, and we are to mourn together. Question is, can my overwhelming grief rob me of my joy today? Can my sense of loss overshadow the people that are still here? The people that God has given me that are a blessing that I love today. This is real, and it can steal our joy. This one, we don't have this in our culture, do we? Busyness. The God of busyness, scheduling, right? Especially when you got kids, you got school, you got sports, you got band, you got activities, you got fundraisers, you've got blah, 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 blah. Run ragged by busyness. Am I so busy that I forget the blessings that God has given to me, that God has given to us? Am I so busy that I don't see the beautiful autumn colors on the trees, even as I'm driving to worship God? That can steal our joy. Comparisons. Ooh, this one's insidious. This one will worm its way in and sneak in, and we start comparing our circumstances or our situation or ourself to someone else. Nothing good can come from that. But definitely Satan can use that to steal our joy. Here's a good example. Y'all remember Peter. We're in John chapter 21. Jesus has already been raised from the dead, and he restores Peter. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. In John 21, how many times does Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times. Every time he says, "I love you," and what does Jesus tell him? "Feed my sheep." Okay. So in this context, as Peter, you got to be feeling pretty good, right? You're restored by the Lord. He's been raised from the dead. He says, "You're still my guy. You're still mine, Peter." So what does he do? He looks over his shoulder and sees John and says, "Hey, what about him, Lord?" Because Jesus just told him about the death that he's going to suffer. That he's going to be led someplace where he doesn't want to go. And so what does Peter do? He compares himself. He said, "What about John?" And Jesus, in essence, says, "It doesn't matter what I do with John. You follow me." Comparisons are no good. We're all given different gifts. We're all born in different circumstances. We don't get to choose our parents, where we were born, any of that. We get to choose to serve God. And He gives us joy. We do not want to let comparisons steal our joy. Here's probably the fundamental one, though, right? They're all lies. And where does that come from? Where do the lies come from that steal our joy? Yeah. Danger, Will Robinson, danger! Yes, I'm showing my age. Whenever the devil is involved, dangerous lies are always present. Here's what John wrote in chapter 8, verse 44 of his gospel. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Satan is going to continually lie to us. He's going to mix in some truth to make it seem like there's some validity to it. But he's doing this to steal our joy. But that's not all, folks. Peter writes, 1 Peter 5:8, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." When we listen to the lies of Satan, he robs us of our joy. That's the answer. That's who robs us of our joy. Satan. So, let's go to the good side. Who is the source of my joy? Who is the source of our joy? That's the second question we want to look at this morning. Two scriptures. The first in the Psalms. Psalm 13. I think that's wrong. Yeah, Psalm 13. It should be 13, 5, and 6. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." God, his love, his salvation, his mercy, his goodness, his creation, and more. That's the true source of our joy in Christ. But it's more than just the source of our joy. In Nehemiah chapter 8, second half of verse 10, he said, "This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." Did you hear that? Our joy is our strength. So if we allow Satan to steal our joy, what goes with it? Our strength. We are left in a state of spiritual weakness if we allow Satan to steal our joy. So, we cannot allow anything or anyone or circumstances, especially Satan, to steal our joy. Our joy comes from God. It is a God-given heritage in the Lord. It is an incredibly important part of our inheritance now. We are more than conquerors because God has already defeated Satan through Jesus' life and suffering and death and burial and resurrection and ascension. We are to celebrate God's victory over sin and death let us rejoice. That takes us to question three. Why do we rejoice? Why do we rejoice? Well, guess what? The answer is simple. We're going to run through it very quickly. God tells us to. But even more importantly, He gives us reason to rejoice. He gives us joy. In Philippians 3:1, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard to you." Second scripture, again in Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, or weep with those who weep," in another translation. And again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, the love chapter, "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth." Amen? That's where God gives us joy, in His truth. But that's not all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And finally, the one we are so familiar with, Philippians 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." Pretty clear, isn't it? Why do we rejoice? God commands us to, because He has given us so much joy that our hearts overflow in rejoicing, if we don't let anyone steal our joy. Which brings us to our second to the last question. How are we to rejoice? Question number 4 or 5. This answer is fun. Isaiah gives us the answer, beginning in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of His righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." We are to rejoice the way a groom rejoices in his bride at a wedding. It's party time, right? We're going to sing praises to God tonight in song, and we're going to go and enjoy Charlie's good fish. We have a good time. Isaiah also gives us some of the why we rejoice. Because God gives us salvation, and He makes us righteous in Him through the blood of Christ. Isaiah continues in chapter 62, the second half of verse 5. "As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." Do you hear that? God is rejoicing about His people in heaven. And He calls us to join Him and rejoice here on earth as He rejoices in heaven. Well, this brings us to our final question. And this is the question we're going to spend the most time on this morning. So stick with me. When are we to rejoice? We're only going to look at three answers. There's a lot of times to rejoice. So we could spend the rest of the day looking at those. But we're just going to look at three. When do we rejoice? If you turn to Luke chapter 15, we're going to be here for three little stories. Jesus tells three parables back to back to back. And each of them gives us some insight as to when it is time to rejoice. The first parable is about a shepherd and some sheep. He's got 100 sheep. 99, good to go. I know where they are. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But I got one who has wandered off. What's the shepherd going to do? He's going to go find that one. And this is what Luke writes in verse 5 of chapter 15. "And when he finds it, the sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he goes to bed." No, that's not what it says. "Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Okay. Well, let's go to the next parable. It's right there in Luke 15. He goes right on. It's about the lost coin, beginning in verse 8. "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." Jesus continues, "In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then Jesus saves the best one for last, that third parable. We know the story, right? The story of the lost son or the prodigal son. Basically says, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance." I don't know how the father found it in him, but he did that. The son goes off, wastes it all, spends the money, comes back, repentant. And we see in our minds the picture of the father running from the town to embrace his lost son and bring him back into his home. But that's not the end of the story. The father is going to share with the faithful son why they should rejoice. Why is it a time to celebrate? And these were the words that Dustin just read to us in Luke 15, verse 31 and 32. "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." I think Jesus' message is pretty clear. He said we need to rejoice when a lost sinner is found and comes to God through Christ. That is reason to rejoice. So that's the first, when are we to rejoice? When the lost are found. Amen. So their second occasion for rejoicing doesn't seem as obvious and can be a little harder for us. We're told to rejoice when we suffer for Christ. Also in Luke chapter 6, probably on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, and insult you, and reject your name as evil." Why? Because of the Son of Man. "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." In other places, Jesus said, "Hey, the world hated me. It's going to hate you because you bear my name." We need to expect persecution and suffering, but that, Jesus says, is a time to rejoice because we are sharing in Jesus' sufferings in this life. Peter knows a little bit about the sufferings of Christ. And he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, he wrote to Christians who were actually suffering persecution at the hands of the Roman government. Beginning in verse 13, he said, "But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other type of criminal or as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." And Peter concludes in verse 19 of chapter 4, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." So God calls us to rejoice when we suffer, when we're persecuted, and when we're excluded because of Christ and bearing His name. Third thing, finally, when are we to rejoice? Every day. When does God bless us? Every day. So in Psalm 16, a psalm of David, he starts in the first two verses, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you I have no good thing." God is the reason we rejoice. He is our refuge, our protection, And any good that we have is from Him and from Him alone. David concludes Psalm 16 in verses 7 through 11. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. God will not abandon us. He will raise us up when Jesus comes again to be with Him forever. His truth and His love give us joy. Let us rejoice with David in our God, the Creator of the universe. So as I've said, we briefly looked at these five questions about joy and rejoicing this morning. I really pray and hope that you leave here this morning with your joy restored and intact and rejoicing in all that God has done for us. That was my purpose. So I'd like us to conclude with one last scripture. We're going to take a peek into the throne room of God in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 8. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder. Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. That's us. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. We are a people recreated to be joyful. Let us rejoice in the Lord together. Who or what is stealing your joy today? I don't know. Hopefully, God can show that to you. But whoever or whatever the thief is, this morning we'd love to help you get past Satan's lies and reclaim your joy and to be able to rejoice in God. If you are not in Christ yet, if you have not been born again of the water of the Spirit, if God has not recreated your soul to give you reason to rejoice, we would love to be able to help you become a Christian today. Whatever your need is this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing this song of invitation.